Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
You'll be set. Now's not a good time to send a flood, God. I've got a great house. I just got my kitchen set up right. I've got a good thing going. I got these buds I hang out with over here. We do this thing all the time. God, you're going to mess it all up. He didn't argue. God says it's time and it's coming. Be ready. Friends, I'm going to give you a little precursor to what I'm going to say later. The judgment's coming. You need to get ready. This is a boat you don't want to miss. So it says Noah did what God told him to do. Christian, if you want to survive the mess that's out there, you need to learn how to hear from the Lord and do what he tells you. Well, I don't ever hear from the Lord. Well, you better get in the Bible. He gave you a text message. Read it. Okay? So if you want to be blessed, in this case, for Noah's situation, if you want to live, make it a habit of doing whatever God tells you to do. Well, I don't know what God wants you to do. Read the book. Let's start. You can start today. And here's also, this is interesting. This is the first time we see a distinction has been made between clean and unclean animals. What is that? Okay, well, clean and unclean animals, that became part of the Levitical law in Leviticus chapter 11. But examples of clean animals are land animals that chew the cud. Okay, you ever seen a cow chewing the cud? They standing out there and their lips are going out there the whole time. They're not eating anything. They're not munching on grass. Their heads aren't low. They're just standing out there. They're chewing cud. It means they eat. And I'm sorry to make you sick. I'm glad Joanna, the germaphobe, is not here. But what they do is they bring some of it up and they chew it again. Okay? That's just cows for you. Who loves a good steak now? I make a mean brisket, you know. But you better be thankful for animals that chew the cud, right? So clean animals are land animals that chew the cud and they have a divided hoof, such as cattle, deer, goats, and sheep. Seafood that has both fins and scales, certain birds, including chickens, doves, and ducks, and even some insects were considered clean animals. Now, examples of unclean animals are land animals that either do not chew the cud or do not have a split hoof, such as pigs, dogs, cats, horses. Y'all shouldn't be eating dogs and cats, okay? I'm just going to say that right now. My dog is sometimes a very unclean animal. Have to give him a bath often, but dogs, cats, horses, donkeys, and rats, seafood lacking either fins or scales, which would be shellfish, lobsters, oysters, I eat oysters, and catfish, some birds such as owls, hawks, and vultures, and other animals such as reptiles and amphibians are unclean animals. Okay, so my thought is, okay, great, we got this category over here and this category over there, but what's the point? What's the point of clean and unclean animals? What good does that do? A lot of nutritionists, when they look at this list of clean and unclean animals, they have seen that eating only clean animals as food provides a much healthier diet. You're going to be a lot better off if you eat the clean animals only. We have to consider that this law was given way back in ancient times. They did not have modern-day safety food techniques that we have today. We don't have the FDA and all that stuff. They had to get a diet of what's clean and unclean, and they'd had to determine what they should and should not eat. So that's how their diet would be, according to God's clean and unclean animals, and that would protect them against a lot of health problems. I want you to see Colossians 2 verse 16 says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. So that came to a point in there with that verse where Jesus declared all foods as being clean in Mark chapter 7. But during the time of Noah, back then, during that time, animals had to be categorized as clean and unclean. There were two different categories. Interestingly, also, the Levitical law had not yet been given by Moses back in Noah's day. So how did he understand these clean and unclean if the law hadn't been given yet? Typically, the Levitical law, that was in Moses' time much later. I think it's safe to assume that God simply told Noah how to categorize the animals as clean and unclean. These are unclean, these are clean. Noah goes, okay, I'll make a jot of that. He wrote it down. Later became Levitical law later. But ultimately, God's distinction between clean and unclean animals was more than about just eating. There's something bigger in this than just being healthy. God had regulations that he gave to Israel that were to keep the Israelites reminded that you are supposed to be set apart. You're not supposed to be like the Gentiles. You're not supposed to be like the foreigners. So not only would categorizing these animals from clean and unclean, not only would it keep the Israelites healthier because they would eat right, because again, we see an obedience track pattern here. They would eat and be healthier, but would also keep them set apart in front of foreign nations. The foreign nations would see, why are you not eating all these animals over here? Well, because my God said not to. Well, why did he say not to while the Gentile was probably sick and the Israelite was healthy? The Israelite was like, well, look at you, man. You don't feel good. Why don't you eat like this? You'll probably feel better. Okay, I'll try it. Then they would eat like an Israelite and say, man, I do feel better. Who is this God of yours again? Then they would want to know the God of Israel. And then God would be glorified in front of the Gentile nations. That was also part of it. It wasn't just about health. It was about eating right to glorify God. You see how that works? It was more than about just food. It was a visible representation of God's blessing for the Israelites. So this would demonstrate blessing and holiness as the Israelites ate clean animals. It would demonstrate to the other nations, hey, look at how blessed we are. Well, I want some of that. Okay, well, you need to do like the God of Israel commands, right? So other nations would get to know the Lord God of Israel for themselves. And I'm thankful that this Gentile right here was given an opportunity to find out who the God of Israel is. Thank you, Lord God. Also, a reason for clean animals versus unclean is there was the need for giving sacrifice offerings to the Lord. You can't sacrifice with just any animal. It only made sense to include a lot more clean animals on the ark than unclean animals because you got to eat. You got to eat clean. You got to eat healthy. And also, we're going to read later that Noah made a sacrifice immediately after the flood in Genesis 8 and 20. So he had to have clean animals for all of this. So we had 7 pairs of every clean animal had been ordered to get on board the ark, and there would still be plenty of animals left for eating. There'd be some left for sacrificing, as well as to begin replenishing the earth. Even the unclean animals got to get on board for replenishing the world. Genesis 7 and 7. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth, 2 by 2, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Okay, so it did rain. It happened. God said, I'm going to make it rain, and it did. Friends, something I want y'all to understand is when God says that something is coming, you better believe it's coming. God does not lie like we do. He says, I'm sending this big thing. You better believe it's on its way. And he's given you plenty of time to get right. So it did happen. It rained. But it also says that the fountains of the deep were broken up. This means probably earthquakes, fault lines probably ruptured, cracks in the ground broke everything up, the continents were shaken. This means there was a lot of water, subterranean water that was underground that came up as well as the rain that came down. You're getting it from both sides, coming down and coming up. I told you there was going to be a lot of action in this, and it flooded the whole world. This was not a localized flood. This was worldwide. Everything got swished around and stirred up. It was very tumultuous. It was very crazy. So I was telling you that there was once a layer of water that was up in the atmosphere. It's no longer there. We don't have it today. And that's part of what kept the oxygen levels higher, why people aged longer. And so that layer came down. It came down on the earth. So the earth is getting it. It's violent upheaval, stirring up like what has never been seen since. Never has been like this so bad. The whole world was, everybody's gone. There's a man named Dr. Robert Ballard. He is the man that discovered the Titanic wreckage. He found it on the ocean floor. He specializes in marine research. He thought, well, why don't we set out to see if we can find any evidence of this great flood? And he actually found evidence supporting it. His team went out and they found an ancient shoreline that is 400 feet below the surface of the Black Sea. Underwater, 400 feet, they found a shoreline down there. So apparently, during the flood, a lot of land got pushed under and held down. As it was that day, as it sat, it got shoved under and held down. And it allowed scientists, they can scan it with their instruments, and they discovered formations proving the flood did actually happen. I myself have personally been on top of a mountain. I was on, I think it's called Sandia Peak in New Mexico, Albuquerque. I've been up there and saw fossils of sea life, seashells on top of the mountain up there, way up there. That's really high. So I don't think we can comprehend just how much destructive force was going on and damage that went on during this flood while it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The earth's crust shifted. All of this would have just been gone. Everything that was gone. It wasn't just drowned. It was stirred up and shoved under. And you ever mix a cake and you really got to get into it? I mean, the earth was stirred hard. And huge upheavals of water to raise the ocean levels up. You know, everybody's so afraid the ocean levels are going to rise and kill us all. Oh, no, we're going to drown. God promised he'd never do that again. Don't worry about that. It's just scientists freaking out. But the whole earth was flooded back then. And it wasn't local. It was worldwide. Now, had this been local, I've heard the argument it was a local flood. No, it wasn't. It was a worldwide flood, because if it had been localized flooding, the Lord would not have needed animals to get on board. They would have repopulated from animals somewhere else that were still in a dry place. No, this was the whole world, guys. That's why the animals had to get on. Also, if it had been localized, there would have been people somewhere else that would have repopulated the earth that, oh, didn't get us, we're fine. They would have repopulated the world from where they were. So no doubt this was going to change the entire surface of the earth, what it looked like. I'm sure that the world before the flood looked very, very different from what we know it to be today. I bet you it was an entirely different view. Also, the longevity of mankind's life was changed by the great flood. People didn't live 900 something years after this. Now their ages started to decrease. This flood is going to have completely changed everything about the earth's entire history, which still affects us today. We don't live as long as they did back then. Genesis 7 and 13. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons, with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two, of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. That amazes me. The Lord shut the door. The Lord's like, that's it. That's all that's coming. Boom. Shut the door. You can imagine floodwaters are coming. The people that shook their fist at God and said, we don't need you, decided, oh, we better run to that ark. God says, nope, you had your shot. It's done. They missed the boat. Friend, I'm going to run it to you again. You need to get your life right with Jesus now, because there's a big judgment coming. It's a boat you don't want to miss. You need to get on the gospel boat. Get under the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, because once that door is shut, it's done. But it always amazes me to see animals obeying the Lord. They came to the ark. They came by themselves. You know that Noah and his family didn't go out in the whole world and round all these animals up. I used to work on a ranch, And buddy, let me tell you, just cows alone are a son of a gun to mess with. Okay, we used to get on horses and we'd round cattle up, and that would take a lot of work just rounding up our own herds that we kept behind a fence. They couldn't go 5 miles away. We had them right close, and it took half a day to get these guys in where we wanted them to. And that was our own cows. There is no way that Noah and his family could have gone out and rounded up every type of animal themselves, not by 8 people. No way. These animals came into the ark at the command of the Lord God himself. Animals were doing what God says. We got people today that are not doing what God says when animals will. Isn't that something? I want us to remember Genesis 6 and 20 we had read before. God said, of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, 2 of every kind, he said, will come to you to keep them alive. If I were Noah, I'd be thinking, what, they're coming to me? Do we have the door open? And what? They're coming to me. I'd be thinking, well, thank God, because after building the ark for 100 years, I'm tired. That's one less thing to have to mess with if they're coming to me. Glad I don't have to track them down myself. But this kind of reminds me of that time. If you remember in the story, remember when the Ark of the Covenant was stolen? The Philistines stole the Ark of the Covenant, and the Lord brought the Ark back to Israel. But do you remember how he brought the Ark back to Israel? The Lord put a curse on the Philistines. He made them all sick. They had the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, we're better than Israel. Look at us. But he was making them sick. They were dying. So out of desperation, the Philistines, they put the Ark on a cart, and they hitched up 2 milk cows to it. And they had the milk cows' calves were pinned up in a barn somewhere, but they hooked these 2 cows up to it and sent them off with the ark. And it says these 2 cows pulled the cart all the way back to Israel, straight on the road, and they didn't go to the left or the right. God controlled these animals. They took it all the way back. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever been around mama cows with calves, okay? But if you take their calves away, they're upset. They're not going to do anything you want them to. We made the mistake. Grandpa, he was the ranch owner. He made the mistake. We cut some calves from cows one time, and we put them on a trailer and had them shipped off. Somebody bought their calves. For some reason, Grandpa kept the mama cows in the shed in the barn right behind the house. And that was a big mistake, because all night long, you heard nothing but all night. Right when I doze off, it'd go again. And I remember we got up and said, would you turn them cows loose so I can get some sleep? You know, but we turned them loose, but they still didn't want to leave. They stayed in the barn thinking, well, this is the last place we saw our calves. They must be here somewhere. I learned when you cut calves from cows, you send them way off somewhere, and you get them away so you can sleep at night. But all I could hear all night was, and it bothered us. So it is very unlikely that you could get 2 milk cows hooked up to a cart to go anywhere. The reason the Bible said their calves were still kept in a barn is to show you how absolutely unlikely it is that these 2 cows would pull the ark all the way back to Israel in a straight line. But the Lord God did it because he has control even over animals. Does he have control over you? Well, not like that. Well, maybe you need to give him control. Well, how do you do that? I'll be telling you that here in a minute. Just listen up, okay? We'll get there. You don't want to be outdone by animals, do you? For animals to hear God tell them to do something and they do it, well, man, I feel like I'm getting whipped on that. Well, pay attention, okay? God shows us that he knows how to guide even animals to his will. If God can even guide animals to his will, what about you and me? What about us? Shouldn't he be guiding us in his will too? Well, I don't know how to hear from the Lord. The animals heard. You saying animals are better than you? We're the pinnacle of God's creation. We should be able to hear from the Lord God. But just look at this. And there's this other verse that always gets me, is how after they entered the ark, it says the Lord shut them inside. The Lord closed the door. This is kind of like the Lord God sealing the deal on his plan. I said this was going to happen. I told you to build it. You did. Good for you. You listened. Now here's the flood. You get to come in. Come on in. I found you righteous because you listened to me. And then he sealed the deal. He closed the door. God is sealing the deal in his plan. This is God's work. This is the Lord God executing his plan of salvation for Noah. Friends, I want you to understand, the Lord God sealed the deal on your salvation. The question is, have you accepted it yet? Have you said, responded to his, come in, you get to come in? Or did you say, no, I don't need you right now, I've got better things to do? This is the Lord God executing his plan of salvation while at the same time executing his plan of judgment on the unrighteous. Friends, I'll tell you, there's two sides of God. He's a just God. He loves you and he wants to save you, but he's not going to put up with our sin for very long. He's giving you the opportunity to get on board the ark of salvation. It's your decision if you're going to be led to get on or not, but once he shuts that door, that's it. But you got the opportunity now to get on. Let's read along. Genesis 7:17. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. This is why I say it wasn't localized. It was worldwide. Verse 20. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. This means it was at least 15 cubits above the tallest mountains there are. Verse 21, and all flesh died that moved on the earth. Friends, this is God did this. All flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle and beasts and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. I want you to read that again, verse 22. Does it say most that was on the dry land died? Does it say 99.9%? It says all of them. This is God did this. They all died. So what God said back in Genesis 6 actually happened. And I want you to look at what he said was coming. God warned in Genesis 6:13. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God was not mysterious about this warning. He was clear cut as could be for us all to understand. He spoke directly to Noah, and over 100 years before God brought it to happen, he said, this flood is coming. And when God says it's coming, it's coming. Okay? God warned of a coming judgment. He gave people plenty of time to repent and get right with him. He gave them more than enough time to get right. But now here it was, just as he said it would. There's some people I'm talking to now. You're hearing me. You kind of don't want to listen, but you have to because I'm in your ear. You might be hearing me on the radio right now. You might be hearing me through YouTube or whatever. You have been wrestling with this God thing. You've been kicking it off and dismissing it as just religion. But now you're starting to understand God is real. He's got judgment against our sin. He's not going to tolerate it. A day's coming when we're going to have to answer for it. And you haven't really given your life to the Lord yet because you're just playing. You're messing around with other goofy things and you haven't gotten serious about the Lord. You need to listen. It's coming. And you don't want to be caught with the boat door shut where you can't get on. He gave them plenty of time. You're still alive today because God's giving you plenty of time. What are you waiting on? Well, I got plenty more time. Who says you have more time?
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for